Senator, thank you for being with us. I wanted to start with your reaction. You've been hearing a lot of reaction to this, President Trump's executive actions in regard to the pandemic relief.
Well, the challenge with what the president has done is that the president has used powers that he doesn't have to push forward on a plan that simply won't work. And so the real solution is to come up with an actual legislative compromise. Much of what he has put forward doesn't solve the fundamental challenge of creating certainty within the economy, creating certainty for the unemployed, for small businesses, and then completely ignores the other parts of our economy that are critical, whether that is state and local, cities and counties, tribes that are also desperately in need of some stabilization right now.
Okay, you talk about a legislative compromise. Congress, as you know, unable so far to come up with that compromise. Senator Chuck Schumer this weekend said that Democrats are willing to meet in the middle. The House bill is more than $3 trillion. Republicans have been talking more about $1 trillion. So that's a big difference. We're talking at least a $1 trillion difference there compared to the House bill.
Fred,
what should go?
Rather than talking about, if your house was burning down and you had four kids inside, you wouldn't argue about whether you're going to save four of them or one of them, and then try to meet in the middle. This is about keeping our economy robust all the way through the pandemic until we actually have a vaccine. And so the fundamental approach of both Mitch McConnell and, frankly, Mark Meadows, who out of the White House has been a terrible influence on these negotiations, has been insulated from the actual pain that's going on in the country right now. So it's not good enough to say we're going to solve the economic challenges for this group, but we're going to ignore tribes, we're going to ignore state and local, we're going to ignore the fact that we have an election coming up and that we need to stabilize and make sure that the resources are there for that election. We're going to ignore the fact that our schools are being asked to open without any additional support to keep our kids and our community safe. So I think that frame of, oh, it's just about meeting in the middle, is absolutely irresponsible, frankly, because this is about just doing the bare minimum to keep our economy alive long enough to get out the other side to when we have a solution in terms of therapeutics and a vaccine without creating a Great Depression.
Are you hopeful that there will be some way to either come to a compromise or to, if it sounds like what you're saying, be much closer to the House bill of over $3 trillion?
I think what's more important than the dollar figures is coming up with solutions for the different things that need to continue to function. Our postal service has to function, and right now we're hearing stories that it's not. Our schools have to function. Our state and local governments cannot be asked to go bankrupt like Mitch McConnell asked them to do. And so I'm heartened by the fact that Steve Mnuchin, who's been one of the lead negotiators for the White House, seems to want to get to a deal. I am frustrated by the fact that Mitch McConnell has not been even particularly involved in the negotiations throughout the course of the last several months. And then you have folks like Mark Meadows who have actively undermined these negotiations.
You mentioned the post office. I want to ask you about the post office because, as you're aware, NPR, other news organizations have been reporting about cuts that have already been taken place with the post office. That would be concerning for some people under any circumstance. But as you point out, as we approach the election, people are very alarmed by this. What do you think Congress should do to address this?
I think we should take mandatory action with respect to shoring up the funding for the Postal Service and making sure that that funding has to be spent by law. Because right now you have a postmaster general who is, frankly, messing around with the Postal Service in very dangerous ways. That puts people's livelihoods at risk. It puts their prescription drugs at risk. It puts their benefits at risk if they're a veteran in the VA system or someone on Social Security. And my advice to voters this fall is to, because most of us are going to want to vote by mail, to vote absentee, is to do that very early in the process so that you don't wait until the last minute. Because I do think that this administration is not beyond trying to cripple the Postal Service in order to have an impact on the election.
Very frustrating times. Amid the frustration, amid the disagreements, there has been at least some progress that we can talk about during our time today, our brief time today. I know there was a major bill signed into law, the Great American Outdoors Act. What will this mean, Senator, for New Mexico?
For New Mexico, it means that we have a structure to really move forward and make sure that every kid in New Mexico, no matter what zip code they belong to, no matter whether their parents are economically well off or economically struggling, should have access to open spaces, should have access to parks. And it also means that we have a tool with which to protect our ecological and cultural heritage, a tool like the Land and Water Conservation Fund that has been so important in communities from Las Cruces to Silver City to some of the biggest projects in the history of Land and Water Conservation Fund have happened in New Mexico, and I think in particular of the Valles Caldera National Preserve, which for decades and decades was off limits to the public, is now open and an enormous amenity to the state because of that tool. Now that tool will be permanently and fully funded rather than having money taken out of it to shore up other parts of the budget.
Senator, very quickly, I know that this year you've also been working to advance legislation to protect the Gila River. Where does that stand?
We're continuing to press forward on that and to call for hearings and markups to be able to move that legislation forward. We had a major public lands package moved very early in this Congress, so it's fairly remarkable to have a major public lands package and something as remarkable as the Great American Outdoors Act, both in the same Congress. But there is additional interest from my colleagues in more public lands legislation. And oftentimes, that's a very good way to pull interest from the East and the West together, from Republicans and Democrats. Many of these thorny issues are very localized. And so we're looking to continue the process of building support for that and to make sure it's part of any package that would move forward, either in the lame duck or in next year's Congress as we get started in 2021.
And we'll see. That could be a very different time next year. I think a lot of us are hoping for continued change and continued progress. It's nice to end our conversation today with talking about a little bit of progress amid what I know is a very frustrating time.
It is, and I think the country as a whole, certainly the New Mexicans that I talk to, are just looking forward to a 2021 without the sort of chaos and challenges that we have had over the course of the last year. I think this is a time when people are really valuing calm, pragmatic leadership, and we need a lot more of that. And I think we're going to have an opportunity to make some of those changes in the coming months.
Senator Martin Heinrich, always good to speak with you. Senator, thanks for being with us.
Thanks a million, Fred.